so the very first one ever. So I'll just explain a little bit. I'll be reading your ghost stories that you send me to gloomystar.ghost@gmail.com to you. And before we start today, I'd like to say that we are doing a little giveaway. So there's going to be a code word in each of the minisodes that we say twice in every single episode. It'll be mixed in. It's your job to find that word. And today, I'll give you a hint at what that word is, and I'll tell you, let's see here, dry. Okay, let's get into the episode. Our first story is, someone said the subject line is visited by my recently dead dog. Back in 2018, when we had to make the tough decision to put down my one family dog. The following information is important. She was only going to be turning 6 that year. She had having seizures for the past 3 years, and with each seizure, she was losing brain cells. Over those 3 years, I slowly saw the spark fade from her eyes, like she was there but not fully anymore. Let's see here. Sorry. There could be some moments, that it would appear that they would become more and more rare. The further the disease progressed, we eventually made the appointment, and she was let go very peacefully of the morning of the 27th of February 2018. With the entire family around her and giving her love, I struggled majorly with her death. I felt it was unfair that she had to die so young. I felt like I should have done it sooner, so that she'd have faded so much and possibly suffered. I thought I'd been selfish in keeping her around. In the end, she was not the same dog she had been 3 years prior. The disease had robbed her of her personality and intelligence. For a while after, I could always feel her presence, often near my shoulders when I was extremely sad. I kept some stuff of hers where we buried her at rest, but there was always... Wait, sorry. I kept some stuff of hers and we had buried the rest, but she was always there. I think it was about 3 months later, I was on the bus to school when I remembered the dream I had the previous night. She was in the room. She was in the barrel room. She looked at me. She was visibly healthy. She had a spark in her eyes. She was Kylie again. I heard her say, not in words, but somehow said anyway, "Thank you. You did the right thing. I'm happy now." While looking directly into my eyes, immediately after this, she got up from her favorite blanket and walked over to my dad, who was also been struggling, as if she had, I got a text, as if she had, "You don't need me more. I'll need you to help him now." This is how the dream ended. I cried on the bus that morning. Ever since that, she's left me, and I hope that she is still happy. We still miss and love you, but we have to continue our lives. Well, that was a nice story. I mean, kind of sad that your dog died. Thank you so much, Comfortable Living 7. let's see. Sorry for that noise in the background you might hear. It's just the builders working on our studio. Okay? My first ghost encounter. This one's by Bremic 00. Here it goes. I started by saying that this isn't the only time I've ever had these types of experiences in my life, but this is the most significant. It was 1989-1990-ish. I was about 3.5 years old. My parents, 2 siblings, and I were staying up in my maternal grandparents' house overnight. After some random family function, my grandparents lived in the southern Nicarso country, county in Long Island, and in an area, from what I have been told, was the American natives and the colonists would have had violent confrontations. It was, if there was a conflict, it happened on those lands. Heavy, I know. Timestamp, 3 a.m. I was in the bedroom sleeping. To get an idea of the layout, the room is 12 by 12 square feet. The bed was against the wall opposite the door, sleeping on my side facing the door. I woke up randomly, frozen. A few minutes later, I see an apparition of a man walking rather slow past the door, pushing some type of cart or wheelbarrow, wearing what looked like a burlap coat and a wide-brimmed hat, maybe 6-ish feet tall, long hair, high cheekbone, facial structure. I remember these facial features and what he was wearing clearly, and I can still see it in my mind today. When he got to the middle of the doorway, he stops, and without moving the rest of his body, turns his head slowly and stares at me for 10 to 15 seconds, before turning his head slowly back the front, to face the front. He continues on his way, walking down the hallway past my door. After I start screaming, my parents come into the room and console me until I go back to sleep. After the incident, I never told anyone about this, not even my parents. When it happened, I kept it buried in my mind until recently. I was on the phone with my mom, and we were talking about something, something suspect. It reminded me of the experience, and I thought to myself, this should be the time to tell her. I told her everything. Afterward, there was silence for a few seconds. Okay, she said, what you told me, what you saw, your two aunts have experienced and described the same clothing and what he looked like. What? That's crazy. 1970, my aunt is 60 years old. Randomly, 3 a.m., she wakes up, some lights pushing her as if to wake her up. She thought it was my grandma. She says, yes, mom, what do you want? And she turns over and sees the same guy in the same clothing, the same face. He was just standing maybe three and a half feet from her bed with no expression, just staring at her. She freezes for a few seconds, and when she starts screaming, he vanishes into the air. 1980, my other aunt was alone at the house and staying overnight. She's sleeping in my grandparents' bedroom. 3 a.m., wakes up, opens her eyes, and sees the same figure wearing the same clothing and the same face standing in the opposite left corner of the room. Staring at her, she freezes, and without blinking, a few seconds later, he, from what my mom said, telepathically shifts to the opposite right corner of the room, staring at her. Again, after a few seconds, just vanishes. This aunt was how old I am now at the time, starts screaming and telling it off, who are you, etc., etc. Anyway, I kind of wrote my experience off as maybe sleep paralysis, but after my mom told me the hypothesis, that hypothesis flew out the window real quick. And that's the end, and that story's 110% true and not made up. Wow, that's probably one of the best stories I've ever heard. Like, that's a really good, like, I've never heard anything like that. We have one more story. This one's called The Ghost of Lou Gehrig. So this story needs a little background to paint the full picture. So for those who don't know, Lou Gehrig was a Hall of Fame baseball player who played for the Yankees for 17 seasons. He's also the guy who died from and is the namesake of Lou Gehrig's disease. So Lou's was an abnett fisherman and moved to our town when he spent his free time fishing in our bay on our bay over where you can watch some pretty big striper and bluefish. Back in the early 20th century, our bay always had water in it. During the Great Depression, they built a bridge to an island and did a lot of public works. public works. So now, at low tide, we only have mud. This is going to be important detail later in the story. So in 1941, Lou passed away at the age of 38. So there is where my part, this is where my part of the story comes in, and my dad's, in quotes. So my dad gets up real early for work, and would see these eerie figures fishing off the rock pier in the dark. He would always vanish with the fog, and my dad would just brush it off and leave for work. I had never seen him before, but my dad mentioned this man he saw every morning around 5 a.m., but we never really thought anything of it.
You didn't think anything of a ghost?
That's just crazy. No offense, but just really. Jump ahead on January of 2020 when I was working on a construction site and had to start waking up very, very, very early in the morning to get to Long Island by 6 a.m. Every morning I would see the man fishing in the fog and never really thought much of it until one particularly snowy day at low tide. So this morning I saw this man fishing on the pier. I thought it was pretty strange, but to each his own. While I was sitting in traffic on I-95, something clicked in my head, but it made no sense for whatever reason. But it makes no sense for someone to be fishing in these conditions. On top of the extreme cold, there was literally no water where he was fishing. When I started connecting the dots, I realized he was always fishing at the same time, with or without water in the bay, and always vanished with the fog. For a while, my dad and I were joking around about the ghost of a fisherman, but didn't take that seriously or give it much thought until we walked to some neighbors who had lived in the community a lot longer than us. According to the old-timers, they claim it's the ghost of Lou. I cannot confirm or deny these details. I don't think anyone really can because I wasn't alive in 1941. But allegedly, Lou was a regular at the fishing spot and was a big morning fisher. And also, allegedly, the ghost didn't appear until shortly after he passed away, again in 1941. Pretty hard to collaborate that.
That's a good story, too. That was pretty good. I don't think I could do that. I'm just doing so much this week. I've been painting my room. Ugh, there's just so much. We went to this amusement park called Dollywood, and I painted a mushroom. So I've done a lot this week. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, this mini-sode. Remember to send your ghost stories to gloomystar.ghost@gmail.com for them to be featured on one of the mini-sodes. And remember our giveaway, if you can find the two words that I said twice in this episode that weren't a part of the ghost stories. Or maybe they were. I can't tell you. But if you can, just email me at gloomystar.ghost@gmail.com with that word and a picture that shows that you've subscribed to the podcast. Thank you so much, and as always, remember, you're never alone, and bye, guys!